president isn't the only super stable genius. Here's Steve Gruber.
Yeah. Super stable. Speaking of super stable, my next guest, Professor William Wagner, president of Salt and Light Global, former federal judge, former federal prosecutor, a guy who knows his way around a courtroom, to say the least, has argued in front of the Supreme Court and elsewhere. In fact, has a couple of briefs at the high court on a couple of cases right now. Professor, welcome back.
Good morning, Steve. Good to be back again.
A whole laundry list of things going on with ramifications that could reach, over many years with wide swath. Tell us, where do you want to start today?
Well, a lot happening today. You've got an argument before the Supreme Court on the Trump national security travel ban. And, you know, there's a lot of things that make this really interesting. First of all, we've got Judge Gorsuch
right now
on the Supreme Court. And if the American people don't think that elections are important, you know, this is going to be the lesson of all lessons, because, you know, when the president appoints the justices of the Supreme Court and the judges on the Court of Appeals, like that crazy Court of Appeals out of the Ninth Circuit on the left coast, that matters. And so we've got an election coming up where we're going to decide the control of the Senate. And every presidential appointee of a judge to the Supreme Court and to the Ninth Circuit out on the left coast, you know, that all has to get approved by the Senate. So who, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, you know, consenting to the president's appointment, that matters. And today in the Supreme Court, that's really going to matter, because are there going to be justices that look at the Constitution and then say, hey, government, President, you have this national travel ban to protect our national security, and then look at the Constitution, see what the Constitution actually says. And I'm convinced the court, and Gorsuch is going to be significant in this, is going to say no.
Now we're going to see here, because here's the thing, you know, Gorsuch went, you know, with the liberal four members of the court here just last week, saying that part of these bans were not clear enough. I mean, he sided with the liberals, did he not?
Well, he may have sided with the liberals on the court and from a political perspective, but I'm going to suggest from a constitutional perspective, it wasn't quite so liberal, because when you look at what the Constitution actually says, one of the things that you cannot have is an ambiguous law, because if you have an ambiguous law, that allows for a very broad, arbitrary enforcement of government power. And that's a conservative principle. That's a conservative constitutional principle. And so in some ways, Gorsuch's opinion was far more conservative than the four justices in the dissent last week. More specifically, as to today, though, today they're just going to look and say, hey, did the president have authority, you know, under statutory and under the Constitution to do what he did? And more importantly, did the exercise of that power to protect our nation violate, of all things, the Establishment Clause? Well, the Establishment Clause does not say that you can't defend the nation.
Well,
and
exactly.
So it's going to be something I think is going to matter.
It's absolutely foolish, you know, respecting an establishment of religion. That has nothing to do with establishing a religion. It has to do with protecting the United States against a hostile, potentially a hostile group of people coming in. Thomas Jefferson figured this out in 1803 and understood what he was dealing with when he was dealing with the Barbary pirates and their hostile approach to the United States, and they were Muslim, and he dealt with them harshly. He created a Navy, he created the Marines. I mean, he dealt with them very harshly, correct?
Absolutely, and again, you know, when the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, it doesn't say that you have to have a secular intent or some special intent when you're enacting a law. And it's just been
test.
An activist Supreme Court that has tried to change that meaning.
Yeah, you're referring to the Lemon Test. Isn't that what it's called, right?
Absolutely. And let me bring us back to, I talked about the Ninth Circuit out on the left coast. That's the federal court of appeals that covers the western part of the United States. They have, ever since the Carter administration, had a far larger majority of what I call judicial activist judges that don't care what the Constitution means and feel that they can make that up, compared to what I call rule of law judges, the type of judges that the current administration seems to be appointing, where you look at the law and you say, this is what the law is, and that's the law I'm going to apply. Well, guess what? for the first time in many, many years, there are like seven openings on that court that the president has the opportunity to fill. So we actually may get back to becoming a rule of law nation, because we talked, you talked about,
well, don't get carried away. I think, I mean, you're being awfully optimistic there. I mean, well, you know, I think there are a lot of people that are a rule of law nation. I think that's true for most people. I think it's true for you and I. I think there are exceptions, notable exceptions that get a lot of attention. That's why it becomes so irritating to some people. Now, I want to jump to something here that you and I talked about last week and we haven't gotten to yet, because I want to know about a case, shifting gears altogether now, about fertilized embryos and whether or not these fertilized embryos have, well, frankly, constitutional rights. Tell me about this story, and people should pay attention right now. Tune in, focus. What is this about?
Well, the Great Lakes Justice Center and David Coleman, one of our senior legal counsel, has been asked to look into this matter, because what is happening is there is a dispute between in a court case where half the people, one side of the case says, well, this is just property. It's like human life is just property. Pretty much the same argument they made back in the slavery days. And then the other side says, no, this is actually a human life. And what the Court of Appeals has done is they've sent this thing back to the trial court and said, hey, you've got to decide, is this a human life? And so what we are doing is we've been asked to represent that unborn life. And
so hold on. Which Court of Appeals?
The Michigan Court of Appeals.
All right, so it's happening here in Michigan, and it's been set back. Did the court give some indication that the embryos needed to be represented?
Well, that's what they've got to decide now. And so the motions are just being prepared at this point. And so the question is, will this unborn human life have a say in this court case, or is the judge going to be able to decide for them?
That'd throw a wrench into the whole thing, wouldn't it? That'd create a big hullabaloo on all sides. I mean, if the embryo deserves to be represented by an attorney, well, then, gee, wouldn't a fetus be represented by an attorney as well?
Well, this is a dirty little secret out there. They are all the time. In disputes over, you know, where an inheritance will go, very often a judge will appoint a guardian ad litem for the unborn, because the unborn has an interest in where that property is going to go. You know, the only question is, if we give a lawyer to an unborn child to make sure that their inheritance is protected, shouldn't we give a lawyer to an unborn child just to make sure that their life is protected? And so that's where it becomes really, really interesting.
Wow, it's a good case. Yeah, you guys always have your fingers on all sorts of cases there at the Great Lakes Justice Center. You've got a lot of different things going on, and we appreciate it, Professor Wagner, coming in here today and sharing all this. You know, there's so much to cover, but we did our best, and that's all the time we have.
We always do.
All right.
And bless you for what you're doing out there, and thank you for having me again, and keep up the good fight.
All right, William Wagner, always a good conversation, adds a lot to the conversation. Thank you so much. This part of the program brought to you by AmeriGas. Our local animal shelters need your support. AmeriGas hosting a statewide pet supply drive right now. It's almost over, but it's not too late. Simply donate pet food or money to make a difference until the end of the month, April 30th, at your local AmeriGas location, and get a free gift. And for most of you, that means a free fill on your 20-pound tank so you get started on grilling. Now, that's exciting. The weather feels like it's grilling time. Go to stevegruber.com. Click on the Lend a Paw from AmeriGas to find out more and to help. This is the Steve Gruber Show. Quick break, and we'll be right back.